to use an extreme example, in communist China in the 1960s, they underwent the Cultural Revolution, where they splanted virtually anything from the past. They killed nuns and priests and pastors and destroyed churches. They made people stand up and swear allegiance to the new China and eschew anything from the old. Now, here in America, to a far lesser degree, far, far lesser degree, far less violent as well, we are seeing a cultural revolution of sorts. There is a war on America's past. Again, the Chinese example is an extreme one. But in this war on America's past, we're seeing hundreds of historical statues that have been toppled or damaged. We're seeing a curriculum in the schools which essentially vilifies the founding fathers, and on it goes. We're going to talk right now with Dr. Mark Belisles, co-founder of Providence Foundation, which is dedicated to educating people about America's true history, including our Christian roots. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Mark Belisles joins us again on this program. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry. Great pleasure to be with you again.
Sure. Now, it's always bad when you sometimes use extreme examples. I'm sure you've heard of something called Godwin's Law. Godwin's Law is along the lines of this, that if there's some discussion or even an internet controversy, eventually one of the sides is going to resort to calling the other side a Nazi, or they're going to resort to the Nazis and so forth. But we can learn from extreme examples from the past. And I think actually the Cultural Revolution of China, where they basically said, we want a total break from our past, that's an extreme example. But there is a type of war on America's past in modern America. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very real. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, the hometown of Thomas Jefferson. And, I've been here for, about 40 years, and yet it was only in, for most of those years, we had statues of people like George Rogers Clark, one of our, founding, Revolutionary War heroes. It's gone now, just in the dark of night, taken away by the city, and, along with Confederate statues, of which, of course they had their reasons. They thought that's, promoting racism, but yet, they decided to whisk away a statue of George Rogers Clark and of Lewis and Clark at the same time. Why? It's not just the under the guise that we're trying to stop racism. It's really about our founding. It's really beyond just a narrow view. There's a war that many people are on against our founding principles and those founding fathers that produced them.
I'm not familiar with the first man that you mentioned, Mr. Clark or General Clark or whatever his name is. What was his crime?
George Rogers Clark was during the Revolutionary War. He fought in the war out in the Western territories against a lot of the Native Americans who were fighting on the side of the British against us. He fought in the Western kind of, region of the Revolutionary War. And so his crime was that, he mistreated the Indians. Well, there was a war going on. It wasn't just out there killing, civilian Indians. He was out there. So anyway, but he's guilty. Because of what he did in carrying the war to the West.
Lewis and Clark, what's wrong with them?
Well, they invaded, kind of the Western territories and took advantage.
Invaded.
Of Native Americans. He appropriated their land, sort of, supposedly under in the United States because of what he did. And he used a slave woman, but didn't give her enough credit, Sacagawea, to give enough credit to her role or to a slave named York, who was George Rogers Clark's, who was William Clark's slave who went on the journey. And so because of that, they're tainted, and have a part of the systematic racism of our founding. What they claim.
You said that, really when you get down to it, that this is a war in our history, not just, let's say, they were guilty, related to slavery or something like that.
Correct.
Because, for example, there have been statues of Ulysses S. Grant that have been torn down, the Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist, and even Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln's had a couple of statues, removed. So what's going on?
Well, it is sort of an iconoclastic kind of time. I mean, you know, when you look even at, besides the China story you mentioned, that experience, I mean, in the French Revolution, there was very much tearing down things. At first it was just, you know, things that supposedly associated with, you know, the monarchy of France, but, you know, ended up turning into a reign of terror. This is what happens when you start trying to have a revolution and against things with no sense of definition, it leads to a lot of other problems. And I think in reality, the core of it all are the Christian principles, because that's what stands in the way of progress in the minds of the progressives today.
You're saying that ultimately they're at war against the Christian principles that help make America great. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the principles that are at the founding of like our Declaration of Independence. You know, when our founders, you know, wrote that document and signed it, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are been given by our creator certain inalienable rights. And all those things used to be thought as good, but nowadays even though it used to be considered one of the greatest documents of freedom in modern times, now because Jefferson or someone held slaves when they wrote those ideas, that meant even those ideas when they talk about God, it's hypocrisy and it's something that in reality is a dangerous thing. It's something that's negative that they perceive. And so they want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And rather than being discerning as to what are the flaws, what are legitimate shortcomings, what are things that we need to improve as a nation, it's a broad brush. And anyone who's hit by that broad brush, it has to no longer be exalted and venerated.
Yeah, I remember about a year ago or so, I was at a tour of an historic place, and I don't even want to identify the city, but because I don't want to, you know, get anybody guilty of this. But here's the bottom line. When it was all said and done, I walked away with that tour almost as if, wow, we never had a civil war. Wow, they never solved the problem of slavery in this country. Wow, we never got rid of the Jim Crow laws. I mean, seriously, it was almost like, yeah, this is, what year is this? Oh, 1861 or 1860? I mean, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, that is the issue. You know, even this is the problem. The reason Lincoln is a problem in their eyes is because he was too forgiving after our Civil War. He was too willing to let a Robert E. Lee, you know, go back to his home in retirement. I mean, he was too willing to forgive. But, you know, it's kind of like, so yeah, you know, in some ways you're saying the war is still going on because of a different spirit in the modern kind of generations now.
One thing too, that's just really crazy. I mean, even if we were not having this terrible cultural moment where they're really at war on America's past, there's also the ignoring of America's past. And that is so disturbing when you see somebody like Jesse Waters, or in the old days it was Jay Leno, they'd go out and they, you know, interview people, and people were just so ignorant about American history. So people don't know about Patrick Henry, John Witherspoon, John Jay. I mean, every American should know who these people are.
Yeah. And if sometimes even in some of the history they're taught is skewered, so that, you know, if you learn about even the history of slavery and of racism in the South, instead of understanding it as, well, you know, it's very political in that sense, at that time it was all associated with the Democratic Party in the South. It wasn't the Republicans. They were trying to stop slavery. But all that nuance is thrown out the window. It's just something that we're all guilty of, and it's not a certain group, a certain political motivation. It's just anybody then that's white or whatever. And it's like there's no sense of of discernment, even when you talk about, the bad parts of our history, much less talking about just the founding fathers and good things.
What is the end goal, would you think, of the, let's say, the Marxists who want to tear America down and they're at war with America's past? What would they like to see happen with America?
They want revolution. They want to change the whole very foundational principles of our country. It's not a Christian Republican form of government that they want. They want it to be more of a socialist democratic government. But in reality, almost always those become really elite organizations that control and regulate everything in society. And takes away real freedom of the masses, those voices, and just puts in those who are in power, who are the ones they deem smart enough and virtuous enough to lead us in the way we should go. And that's kind of the end goal of, I think, of a lot of these radicals.
Do you think the founding fathers in any way had any kind of inklings about this tendency within human nature to push us in this wrong direction?
Oh, I do. I think when you understand the Constitutional Convention, the debates, I mean, of course, almost simultaneously, just slightly after that was the French Revolution. They were very aware of the dangers that were there. I mean, so they even put right into the Constitution the right for amending things through peaceful, legal, constitutional processes rather than through violent revolutions. They understood, hey, there will be times where we're going to have to fix things. We're going to have to come together. One of the founding principles of the Declaration of Independence was not just only the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, but also the right to alter and abolish a government that becomes tyrannical. They understood there needs to be a legal process for that, though, and because that's the kind of world we live in, and they knew the dangers. If you don't have a process for that, it becomes explosive. Today, you hear people talking about a national divorce. I mean, I don't know if we really have to come to that point, but a peaceful process of working through these things constitutionally is really, we do need to approach that now, I think, more than ever.
Well, you certainly don't mean we need a national divorce. What you mean is we need change from where we are presently. Could we reach a point where, my goodness, it's virtually, impossible to turn this thing around? I mean, I keep hearing people say things like, well, the average nation in history lasts about 240 years. But on the other hand, I think God blessed the foundation of America so well through giving wisdom to so many of those who founded the thing. It's a very strong foundation, but
yes.
But there can be a point where you reach a point of no return. So we have about 1 minute left. Is America worth fighting for? And I don't mean that, militarily. I mean in every way.
Yeah, I believe America is worth trying to reclaim it. I do think when, we're getting ready to approach the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. I think in 2026, I mean, when we are back, maybe we can do what our founding fathers did or one of those pilgrims did. Maybe we're not exactly a perfect nation. We're not like Israel. God chose Israel, but our founders chose God. I think we need to choose God again. I think we can do that. And I think it's worth fighting for that, to get our people. And it's going to take revival. It's going to take work of the churches. But hey, I believe it's worth it. Let's turn our nation back to choosing God again.
Amen. And is there one website you want to give us?
I think I would go to americatransformationcompany.com. That's where you can find a lot of what I'm doing, americatransformationcompany.com.
Mark Belial, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.